You know, folks, I was always told if you start with an episode 000, it would continue on with the numbering and make everything honky-dory. Well, apparently because of how podcast things count nowadays, they don't count episode zeros anymore. And we recorded episode 0 of the podcast organization without a cool acronym back in 2016, when it still mattered. So, this, right now, what you're listening to, we say it is episode 93. In actuality, in order to keep Tales of the Resistance at episode 100, this is now actually episode 94, which means the next episode, which I'm going to record this exact same clip for the next one, will be episode 95. So you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network's podcast organization without a cool acronym with me, TFG1 Mike and Peaconcord Michael. This is episode 94, Thanks But No Thanks, and Troy Story. Enjoy.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days. Women and children and the faint of heart may wish to leave now.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist,
hey!
Or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain.
It's over here!
Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane.
Idiot!
As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall.
Come on, Barry!
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Making a title sequence!
Hello? Hello? Is this thing on? Well, it's been just over 3 years since Mission Marvel defeated us in 2021, and a lot has happened since 2021. But this is episode 93 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and joining me, as always, is Peaconcord Michael. Hey, oh wait, that's your line.
I usually say that.
Yeah, I stopped myself.
I'm like, is that in the script? Does it say that? Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop, but it's going.
Don't let it stop.
No.
I got records on my hands, and I just can't stop.
That's right. I got records on my... That's right. That's right.
And I got records on my fingers. Records on my fingers. I got records on my fingers and I just can't stop.
Don't stop.
Today, even though it really isn't, but today, according to this podcast, it is the 93rd day of summer, at least for us anyway. This means it is the day that GCRN finally gets back to our quote-unquote new cartoon review podcast for 2024. So, Michael, are you ready to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Heck yeah, man.
You missed a perfect example of using yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. That's all I had, too. Oh, wow. You know what? Next time. Next week.
Yeah, the next episode.
Yes. Yes,
I am. As of this recording, we have 11 days left of the podcast. So we've got 11 episodes left until season 5 starts. And we'll talk about that in another episode because we have... 4 cartoons we have to get through tonight, and
I know are they going to start like to season 5, or are they going to do something different? I'm like, this is a nice opportunity to make them a couple of years older or something.
Something, yep.
I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, our friends, our lovely friends over at the Phineas and Ferb Wikipedia, Wikia, whatever they call it, they do have a section for the 5th season. It was officially announced on January 13th of last year, 2023, and been renewed as part of the new deal between Dan Povenmire and Disney. Season expected to premiere in 2024. Okay, so we don't have... Ooh, interesting. Okay, we need to dedicate... We're going to talk about this in the next episode, because you don't... Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Wilson's on a clock tonight, so we got to get into these episodes, and we are going to do that by... Thanks, but no thanks, right after this.
So, go and stop him from his cartoon conventions.
Pyramid Sports, Pyramid Sports, Pyramid, Pyramid, Pyramid Sports.
If you want something.
right. Thanks, but no thanks. After learning about Monty and Vanessa's secret relationship, Carl bribes Monty into helping him get some much-needed acknowledgement from Major Monogram, while Dr. Doofenshmirtz creates his inflator-inator to try to silence his neighbor who plays the bagpipes every day. Meanwhile, Candace is ecstatic when she discovers that her neighbor, Peggy McGee, has witnessed all of Phineas and Ferb's summer antics and is happy to tell Mom about them. Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. I forgot how fun consuming entertainment can be, because I have, like, one note under no, no, we don't moments and, like, four notes under yes, yes, we do moments, and then that's it. I just sat here and watched these episodes. Oh, man.
I feel the same way. I used to take a lot of notes. I'd take like 4 pages of notes, like handwritten notes for each episode. And this time I said, you know, I just want to enjoy it. It's been a long time since I've watched Phineas and Ferb. My kids are 16 and 18 now. No, they're not going to watch it. Nope. So I just said, I'm just going to sit and enjoy it. And it was nice. It was a lot of, it really took me back.
Yeah, absolutely. God, they're 16 and 18 now. Jeez.
I know. Christ. Do you feel old yet? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel older than not even my kids. Like, I remember when we started back in 2009, they were however the hell old they were.
Very young. Yeah.
Yeah, they were young.
Long time ago.
I was like, let's go roll to the rescue bots. Well, that didn't really work out, but yeah.
A couple episodes. We were pretty good there. Yeah. You know? I thought I was getting arthritis, and it turns out it's early onset rigor mortis.
That's right.
That's how old I am.
That's right. Uh-huh. So thanks, but no thanks. I love this because we are leaning towards, like, the kids, the whole Phineas and Ferb, and well, the inflator-inator hits Perry, I think, and
I think they both get hit.
Yeah, I think they both get hit. Well, and then it's in the episode, Doofenshmirtz ends up like a beach ball at the concert, which was hilarious.
You know what I don't understand, though? And again, we're jumping the gun here entirely, but why would you hit bagpipes with something that would inflate them? Because the whole point of bagpipes, how the way you play bagpipes is you squeeze it to squeeze the air out, and that makes the noise.
Yeah.
So if you're inflating it, you're just going to get more noise.
We've established that he's not the smartest scientist, right, or fake scientist that you, however you want to classify Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
The very worst evil pharmacist ever.
Yes, exactly. Evil pharmacist. Oh, God. Yeah, he's an evil pharmacist. All right. The whole Monty and Vanessa thing, that's a nice addition. Monty as an addition to the show with Major Monogram is really nice. Carl is still so annoying to me.
He's still Carl. And, you know, I really felt like Carl blackmailing Monty was kind of crappy. You know, it's maybe out of character, maybe not. I just, it didn't sit well with me.
Yeah, that kid is evil. E-V-I-L.
Yeah.
How was your meal, Dad?
Absolutely delicious. What a great new place.
I know, right? Carl found it.
Well then, let me just say thank you to the chef. Thank you for that delicious meal.
You're most welcome. So glad you enjoyed it.
Dad, isn't there something you wanted to say to Carl as well?
Of course. What was I thinking? Don't be rude, Carl. Thank the chef.
Thank you.
I like this table. And to show my gratitude, dessert is on the house. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go and fire a member of staff. Vincenzo, come here!
There, you see. A little gratitude goes a long way. Pay attention, Carl. You could learn something.
Really learn something from you.
Yeah.
He just wants a thank you. That's all he wants.
I mean, I get it in manners.
He wants to be appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, even though manners are everything, be careful, Major Monogram. Carl might just go evil on you. Like,
wouldn't be the first time.
True. Very true. I love how they're able to just have characters appear. Like, we've been doing this, well, off and on since 2016. This podcast started in 2016. So it's almost, oh God, we have to finish this before 2026. If this podcast waits 10 years, oh my God, it'd be just like the cartoon.
I was going to say, it aired in 2013, didn't
it? Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been over 10 years.
Well, for the show, yes. But I'm saying for the podcast,
we started
the podcast in 2016. The neighbor lady, she saw, you know, Peggy, she saw everything. And I know it's a roundabout way to get the whole pyramid thing that Phineas and Ferb are doing. The triangle, the pyramid.
That was funny. Honestly, it should have been a better sight gag, but I got it. I was like, that's clever.
Yeah, that's clever. Yeah.
What I really liked was, and something I completely did not expect, was Goldie Hawn as Peggy the neighbor. Yep. And it's funny because I did not catch the voice. I was thinking, you know, it's this old lady next door. This would have been a perfect time to cast Betty White. You know, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But Goldie Hawn. Wow. Yeah. I can't even remember the last thing I saw Goldie Hawn in. I do remember. She was in he was Mrs. Claus in that Santa Claus thing with Kurt Russell.
Oh.
Did you see that Santa Claus thing with Kurt Russell? It was on a couple of years back.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but
they are actually married in real life, so she showed up as Mrs. Claus, and it was nice to see her again, you know, because I haven't seen her since the 80s. In anything serious, right?
I think the last major thing I remember her in is Deceived from 1991 or Bird on a Wire from 1990. Death Becomes Her in 92. First Wives Club. Oh, God. First Wives Club in 96. That was just everywhere. Out of Towners, Town and Country, The Banger Sisters.
The Banger Sisters. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
And the movie that you're speaking of, where she plays Mrs. Claus, is The Christmas Chronicles and Chronicles 2.
I don't think, was she in the first one?
Yeah.
All right. I remember her playing a bigger part in the second one.
Well, yeah, she was. Okay. It says here she was a cameo in the first one, but the fact that I'm assuming these are Hallmark movies, just
by
the title.
That was a good movie, though.
Yep.
The voice, though, that I did pick out immediately was Gordon Ramsay as the chef. There's no way that's Gordon Ramsay.
Yes, there is. Of course, there's a way that's Gordon. Are you kidding me? Of course, there's a way that's Gordon Ramsay. How could you not have that be Gordon Ramsay?
No, it was exactly. No, I felt the same way, where it's like spot on. That's right. It's like Leo standing up out of his chair, pointing at the screen. I know exactly who that is.
Yeah. It's like that thing where he said the thing. Anytime Michael Keaton shows up, I'm Batman. He said the thing. He said the line. He did the thing. Like,
that's,
you know,
the thing. Exactly.
Point. Yeah.
It's like, excuse me, I gotta go yell at a chef.
You know, exactly.
That was a cool moment. I liked that.
Yeah, that was very, very cool.
And the last voice actress that I did not notice at all until I read the credits, right? Leah Remini was Doreen. Yeah. She had like one line.
Yeah, Leah Remini. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. It didn't sound like her. Like,
no. She had like more than one line, but three of them were muffled. You know. And at the end, she's like, here's my invoice.
Yeah, here's my invoice. You'll hear from my lawyer.
But she should have said it in like that condescending tone that she had with her husband in King of Queens.
King of Queens. Yeah.
Like, absolutely. You stupid idiot. Let me tell you why you're dumb. You know, and that maybe that would have kicked in for me, and I would have been like, oh, it's Leah Remini. Yeah.
And I mean, Seth Green as Monty. Fits perfectly up against Olivia Olson as Vanessa, And then obviously Swampy as Monogram.
Did Seth Green not sound like he phoned this one in? No, or is he didn't. Going? No, is he going for that dull monotone tone? I don't know.
Well, you got to think of the character though. Monty is a little bit more excitable than his dad. Like his dad is full on major monotone. He gets excited when nobody's looking, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but with Monty, right? I think Monty has that. His dad isn't cool, but he almost is. Like. The
right, but I'm not getting personality shining through from Seth Green's performance, is what I'm saying. I'm not feeling it.
Well, you got to think of where the characters are, though. Between him and Vanessa, they're on a date, they're doing this, they're doing that. I like the back and forth between them. I think his voice is fine for the character. I don't know how much more he could punch it up. Like his character to me is supposed, at least in this episode, is supposed to be subtle. It's supposed to be, and subtlety is lost in this world these days, unfortunately.
Honestly, I think if I was dating Vanessa, I'd be a little more excited.
He's excited, but it's a
a little more excited.
He's excited, but like that was like what, their second date? Like, I mean, come on, you can't just, I don't know.
Well, I mean, whatever. Not just the date, but like the dinner scene where he's like,
yeah,
come on, Dad, don't you want to thank Carl? It's like
he says it a little bit better than that, I think.
I'm trying to mimic reading from a cue card, you know, but. It's like, did you phone this in? Were you actually on a phone when you recorded this line?
No, I don't think so. But see, the thing is it, again, it's his subtlety. Like when he go, like, don't you feel like you owe Carl a thank you or whatever? And then Carl just is like, is it gonna work? Is it gonna? And then he just kind of leans over and says, "Don't worry, I got another idea." You know, so
that line exactly. He's like, "Don't worry, I have another idea." Yeah, I'm like, exactly. It was so dull. It just the whole line just fell out and went on the floor. Like, man, all right, he could have emphasized, "Don't worry, I got another idea." You know, it's just like, "Don't worry, I got another idea."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just what? Come on, they're paying you to be here. How do you feel about Pyramid Sports?
The song or the event in general?
The event in general. Yeah.
It's a little weird.
It was a little weird. I was like, okay, so you've got 10 people on a bicycle. And my first thought was, shouldn't all of them have a bicycle?
Yeah, that should have been like a 10 person.
Like a 10, yeah. Like, but a 10 person tandem bike. How do you get 10 people sitting on a bike on top of each other? And it just took me to weird places.
Yeah. And then the bowling. Oh my God. The bowling that destroyed the bowling alley or whatever. Mm. Oh God. That's not how bowling works, folks. I get it. They're trying to be funny, and I get it. We're kind of nitpicking this, but that's kind of the point of the podcast is the stuff that we... Whatever.
I feel like that whole gag was in service to the punchline, which was Peggy's in on a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
And they're like, what can we do with the pyramid scheme? How can we make pyramids funny? And suddenly... Yeah. Suddenly they're bowling in a pyramid formation.
Yep. Yeah, it's a little, I don't know. It's
kind of backwards humor. Kind of strange.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
I didn't understand it. I mean, I was like, you know, maybe an idea was we go bowling in a pyramid and we build a pyramid, you know, because that seems more a little on par with what they do.
Yeah. I mean, I got it, but like I understood it, but it just, I don't know. It just, this episode, like you said, it basically the A story and the B story basically kind of come crashing together.
Yeah. They dovetail around each other. And then in the end they meet, and here they kind of, you know, they kind of fell about as well as Seth Green's monologue. going to get into a weird pyramid upside down position and pedal down the street on one bike.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. How do you mistake his tail for a waffle doof? Come on. How did you not see him? How did you not see him fly it? Like, oh my God, Dr. Doof.
He was preoccupied. Yeah, he had things. He was doing stuff. Yeah. He was really worried about the bagpipe guy. Yeah. But the funny thing was at the end, it's like, dude, can you keep it down? And he's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Like, and again,
that was funny. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that was hilarious. But again, like, Doof can't, like, what is so, and we've talked about this before, other podcasts, what is so psychologically wrong with Doof where, and I know the whole point of it is evil science, this, that, and the other thing, you have to have the innator, you have to have the formula, whatever. But, yeah. Like, you couldn't just do the exact, like, he couldn't have done exactly what Perry did. Like, seriously, you couldn't have just said, hey, can you keep it down? Like, and at no point in any of this episode did he ever say that he asked his neighbor to keep it down. All he said was, there's a new neighbor in a building next door that's playing the bagpipes constantly, and it's screwing with my life. Well, how about you know, be a neighbor and just say, hey, can you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Keep it down over there.
Yeah, I just took this episode down a half point. I like the episode. I don't dislike the episode. My rating is not going to be like a 0 or a 1.5 or a 2 or whatever, but it's not going to be a 4 or a 5 either because as we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, Doof. You doofus.
Well, you know, I mean, I can't give it a bad review. It wasn't a terrible episode. I mean, I think it gets a 3 just by guest voices alone, right?
Yeah. And that's what I'm giving it to, a 3.
All right. Maybe a 3.5. Yeah.
I thought about that, but as we're talking about the whole Doof thing and how dumb he is and not just asking his innator, like, he could have still used his innator.
Yeah.
And all of that, but he could have avoided the whole neighbor thing and oh God.
You know, it would have made it like 10 times better if he had an electric guitarinator and just turned the bagpipes into a guitar. And then he would have been over there like shredding. Like,
that's right. Yep.
Problem solved.
All right, folks, we are going to move on to Troy's story right after this.
Now that we're all here, who wants to go first?
Ooh, me! In general, I thought the Greek's decoy platypus was a brilliant idea until it got smashed by the T-Rex. Its use of laser to destroy the city of Troy really seemed unbeatable until Paris flew down in his laser chariot. The flying chariots were all pew, 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 gack, 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 and ew!
Cool!
The Iliad is truly an epic.
Candace, you didn't read the book, did you?
I'm so busted.
Oh, that's okay. I don't think anyone did.
I just come to book club for the tea.
All right, folks, Troy's story. Really? Troy's story? Really?
Oh, it's...
I know what it is, but really? Inspired by Candace's book club selection, The Iliad, the boys reenact the Trojan War, but with a Phineas and Ferb twist. Meanwhile, Perry discovers that Doofenshmirtz has a major problem with throwing things away, so he helps him find his declutterinator. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun,
well,
dun.
Phineas and Ferb made the Iliad exciting.
Well, you know, the Iliad needed more T-Rexes.
That's right. Need more Grimlock. Must have Grimlock now.
Exactly. With eye lasers.
Okay, good.
You need more eye lasers.
Oh, God. I just saw on YouTube somebody got the Grimlock popcorn bucket. Oh my God.
Is that a thing?
Yes, it's a... Oh my God, have you not seen the popcorn bucket craze? They've got a popcorn bucket for every freaking major movie that comes. They got Deadpool and Wolverine. They got Alien popcorn buckets.
I've seen those, yeah. Yeah, some of those are a little inappropriate, but...
You ain't lying.
Not much you can do about that, but...
No. And in this episode, Doofenshmirtz says,
"Oh no,
what? What's on?"
Oh, nothing. I'm sorry. I'm breaking the train of thought here. I was just looking. Doreen Leah Remini is in this one.
Yeah,
not the last one.
Yeah, she's not in the. Yeah, she's not in. Oh. Thanks for nothing. She's in this one.
Yeah, you totally should have corrected me. Did not realize I was jumping the gun on.
Jump the gun all the way into the Troy story.
Into the Troy story.
That's right.
No Troys were injured during the filming of this episode.
Yeah, no Troys were. Yeah. So Doof specifically says, 40 years of junk I need to go through. Oh my God. We have 40 years of a franchise that we have to go through. Oh, my God. 40 years to unpack.
On this episode of Hoarders, we have.
That's right. On this episode of Transforming Hoarders, we've got 40 years.
You know, it's funny. I felt like there was a missing sight gag here because we really should have seen the Ark of the Covenant in his storage room.
Yeah,
5 miles of boxes, and then like on top of one is the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from they did make a and tell me if this is the wrong one. They did make a Raiders of the Lost Ark reference.
Yeah,
was that this episode where he goes down the hole and it's yeah. I'm pretty sure it was this one
because Love at First Bite was the computers, and then One Good Turn was the other one. So yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was the rabbit hole. Was when he goes in, he goes into the tomb or whatever, and he puts the jewel on top of the stick and points it at the city, and it points to where he's supposed to be, and I just. Yeah, I was like, it's a Raiders reference.
I'm looking at the illusions on the wiki for this episode. Am I looking at the right episode? Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I don't see it in there.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't this episode, but
who knows?
Of the four that I watched today, it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, I'm not sure which one it was.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them.
Yes. I like this episode. I thought this episode was fun.
Mm.
I like it more for the Doof and Perry stuff than I do for the whole reenactment of the Trojan War, because even though this episode is let's see, when did this come out? You said something earlier about 2013. So
yeah. Yeah,
season 4, September 20th, 20. Oh my God.
Mm.
11 years ago in 6 days. We are 6 days over when this first aired on Disney Channel.
Oh, happy birthday to this episode, sort of.
There you go. Sappy. Wow. What the hell am I talking about? September 20th. I don't know. September 20th, 2013. And every movie, everything at some point or another has to do a Trojan War, either reenactment, reference, whatever. And I get it, it's a thing. The way they did it here was really, really funny and really interesting and good. But again, most of the enjoyment of this episode for me is everything with Doof, Perry, and Doreen.
You know, I really felt like that was the low point of this episode, in the sense that there wasn't a whole lot to it. It was like, oh, hey, this is my giant storage room. And I honestly expected to see at least a dozen sight gags.
Yeah.
And I paused it just to look at the clutter. And it's like old dolls and musical instruments and stuff that you would find in an old person's attic.
Right.
But not like a giant baby head.
Did we even have the giant baby head?
There should have been. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the giant baby head in this one.
Again, no, there wasn't. That's what I'm saying. They should have been. there any number of things, any number of like little bits of innators from the past, or, you know, just stuff that you'd recognize from the last 3.5 seasons that they could have stuck in here as little Easter eggs. But instead, you know, you've got, a collection of creepy dolls, which, you know, while creepy, was not so much anything that I found interesting. So, I mean, there was a lot of missed opportunity in that B story,
mm-hmm.
and the Doof side of this of the episode, and there were a couple background shots where they were just wandering through the clutter until they blew it up, and yeah, maybe that's why they just had generic garbage, because if you blow it all up, no one will miss it.
Well, the other thing is this isn't just supposed to be a random. Closet or section. This is his whole lair. This is his whole thing.
Well, at least the attic of the lair. I mean, and again, this seems like somebody's attic and yeah. not something like, oh, hey, you've got 40 years of backstory. It's like maybe if he had a backstory about creepy dolls, sure, but it just wasn't there. It didn't, when you go in someone's room, and it's a reflection of who they are and their interests and their, little bits of detritus of their history. And this just wasn't here. At least it didn't feel like it.
No, not at all.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, huge missed opportunity. But at least we got a Raiders reference.
Yeah, at least we got. I would have preferred a Last Crusade reference, but that's just me, because Last Crusade is the best crusade. But that's just me personally.
Yeah, sure.
Troy story. Oh man.
I mean, I like the idea of historical reenactments gone wrong.
Yeah,
it's like that clearly didn't really happen, and then Candace shows up at her book club. And begins to, tell everybody what happened. And then giant T-Rex and a Star Wars reference. Go for the legs. It might be our only chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, hey, all right. I see it. It's like, yeah, tow cables.
Gotcha. And then, Stacy turning into Ferris. I just came for the tea.
Just kidding. So, yeah, a lot of references in here, but it wasn't my favorite episode.
No, like I said, the Doof stuff, like the stuff with Doof is the best part to me, because, again, we're going into his psyche of like, and we all have, I mean, just. You can look at Michael's office, folks. You can look at my apartment. We all have cluttered collections, and we all hoard things and whatever, and have toys and whatever. But, like, just the way that it got into his whole psyche, yeah, that was the best part. So, what are you going to give this?
I didn't hate it. So I'm still probably going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. These
No. Okay, hold on a second. I was wrong. Yes. I'm actually looking at the wiki. Perry's entrance to his lair alludes to the Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, where, yes.
Yeah, that was this one. It was not the one with the Raiders of the Lost Ark reference. And again, missed opportunity, because. A Raiders of the Lost Ark lair entrance, and bookend that with a Lost Ark in the clutter room would have been perfect.
Yeah, it would have been perfect. So 3 perfect. All around.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. So far, folks, it's just kind of an even keel. We enjoy I enjoyed watching the episodes, but just looking at it, I'm like, yeah. There's not enough here. It's not blowing our socks off, folks. And hopefully Love at First Bite will right after this.
party is totally throwing off my entire day. Jeremy's stuck working the slushy dog concession, my parents are busy with preparations, and the boys are so preoccupied with the party they haven't done anything remotely bustable all day.
I'm probably going to regret this, but wouldn't a giant robot insect count?
Woohoo! I'm back in the game.
What horrors did I just unleash?
Phineas! Ferb! What is this giant insect robot thingy?
It's not a giant insect robot thingy. It's part of the light show extravaganza for the block party's big finale.
All right. When Mom becomes overwhelmed with organizing a block party, she asks Phineas and Ferb for their help in making the party's finale memorable. Meanwhile, Candace plans to bust her brothers, but their team-up with Mom throws a bit of a wrench into her situation. Over at the block party, Doofenshmirtz tries to set Norm up with a female robot, but Norm's nervousness gets the best of him. Oh, Norm.
Norm episode. I love Norm.
Oh, Norm. Yeah. Norm episodes are the best episodes.
They are. They are. I do like Norm. And I like the fact that Norm, you know, meets a girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I don't want to say cliche at this point, where it's like, how do I talk to girls, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he, Doofenshmirtz is like giving him really bad advice. But I'll just go talk to her. You know?
Yeah, he's giving him really bad advice, but he's giving him bad advice based on his own experience. Like, you know, he specifically says a certain thing, and Norm asks him, "How'd that work out for you?" Well, we got divorced.
Whatever. Yeah, you know, well, you get married and then subsequently divorced. But yeah
subsequently divorced. Yeah,
we don't have time for that just yet.
Yeah, we don't have time for that. Go talk to her. I mean, the advice he gives him is semi okay advice.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of ass backwards works for him. But essentially, Doof himself has no plot in this episode.
Yeah, there's no innator. There's no, you know, there's nothing to tie.
Okay, Norm, you ready to head out to the black party?
I'm not going.
Don't tell me you're still bummed out about not having a date.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, I was going to say, there's really nothing to tie this A story to the B story. But in fact, Norm does, I guess, take over the Flazer in the end. And that kind of ties it together. So it's more of a Norm B-side than a Doofenshmirtz B-side. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But that reveal at the end, oh my God, I was at first like, wait a minute, how is there a female robot at this block party? Who brought the fembot? Who broke into Dr. Evil's lab and got a fembot? And then the reveal, I'm like, oh fuck, of course it's Rodney.
It's Rodney. Yeah.
Fucking Rodney.
Yeah, but then I was like, oh no, we're going to get uh-huh. a Romeo and Juliet story out of this, where it's forbidden love, but they, you know, they're not allowed to date, but now suddenly they want to.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
All right, folks, we're back from that impromptu break, and we're going to talk about Love Sandal, the Love Handle cover band. They don't do much. The only thing Love Sandal does is they have a Doofenshmirtz beach ball at their concert. That's all the thing Love Sandal does.
That's all they really need. Uh-huh. I was trying to remember what song they played from Love Sandal.
They didn't really play any. Like, the only song that's listed in the episode is Robot Love Song. Yeah.
Wow. I just thought the punchline at the end, he's like, oh, is that Love Sandal?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole point of the going to the concert is, oh, so Doof can come in with his, and the Flazer is cool, but the Flazer did weird things. Like, Phineas specifically says, oh, these are just laser lights. They're just lights. They're not going to do anything. And then they fire it up. And then, like, one guy out in the middle of nowhere is like, oh, my tattoos are gone. And I'm like, wait, I thought it wasn't supposed to affect people.
Some people might consider that an adverse effect. Yeah.
Okay, yes, it's an ad. But I'm saying, like, one of the concerns was, oh, aren't these lasers, if it's a real laser thing, isn't it going to hurt? And Phineas is like, no, it's not going to hurt anybody. It's just lights. It's just this. It's just that. And I'm sitting here thinking, that guy lost his tattoos because they got laser removed from his body. Hey, at least he didn't scream in pain.
Did they build an inator?
Yeah, pretty much. That's Phineas and Ferb built an inator.
Tattoo removal inator.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, I mean,
the disappearing, reappearing ink. Roger Rabbit crossover, anybody? Let's go.
We go.
Oh, God.
All owned by Disney. There's absolutely no. Oh, no, it's not owned by Disney, is it?
No.
Roger Rabbit is owned by.
It's Warner. It's Warner.
Oh, it's. There's a there's a Roger Rabbit land in Disney, isn't there? God.
Yes, it is Disney. Yes.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, point is, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm confused. I don't know anymore.
I don't know anymore either. We're going to move on in a second. But the tattooed guy, his one line. Hey, my tattoos are gone. Now I can finally be an accountant.
Be an accountant.
How would having tattoos on your body stop you from being an accountant when an accountant's wardrobe is basically a suit, a shirt, and a tie? You're not going to see the tattoos.
Technically, yeah. You should be able to disguise yourself as an accountant despite the tattoos.
Yeah, I guess I missed the Dan and Swampy's lookalikes having cameos in this episode.
Me too.
I don't know. All right, folks, we are going to move on to the final cartoon of episode 93, and we'll be right back as it is One Good Turn.
Ferb, we've got a lot of leftover parts from the last time we used leftover parts. There must be something we can do with them. You know, besides hodgepodges or art pieces.
Whoa, dudes! What's with all the junk in your backyard? It's like an obstacle course back here.
That's it. I know what we're gonna do today.
What'd I say?
You said obstacle course, of course.
Oh, I meant to say chili cook-off.
Are you telling me that we have never made an obstacle course this entire summer?
Ferb?
I'm filled with remorse that we haven't, of course, even thought of building an obstacle course.
Then let's build one and make it our new tour de force.
That is a plan I can clearly endorse.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. I'm putting an end to this before it breaks into song.
Well, folks, it is One Good Turn deserves another, and we need to normalize using the term dead. It's okay. It's not big of a deal.
You can do that, but again, you have auto censors in the media nowadays. So, you know, if you are, God forbid, trying to monetize your recordings, and you don't want it demonetized for saying things like suicide or self murder.
So, wow. Okay. We need to not unpack that. Holy crap. I will say this in every episode of every podcast I ever do. I am a suicide preventionist. I attempted suicide technically 30 years ago this year.
Oof.
Obviously, it didn't work because I'm still here.
Clearly.
And I speak out about, you know, how it's not the answer and how, you know, whatever you need to do to not feel like you need to kill yourself. Please do it. Please get the help you need.
We're gonna put the suicide prevention hotline number.
Mm-hmm. Call 988 on your mobile phone or is it 1-800-25? I forget what the actually 100 number is. But basically, if everyone has a mobile phone nowadays, most people do. Dial 988 for help if you need to. Somebody is always listening. So if you need help, get help. All that good stuff. But One Good Turn deserves another.
Yeah.
Motivated by a movie with strong... What?
Nothing. I'm sorry I brought it up now. It's like, you know how Romeo and Juliet ends, right? I mean...
Yeah.
All right.
You didn't know by now. Yeah.
Maybe people don't know. I mean, but that's just... It's what happens at the end. And
spoilers! I mean, come on now.
If you haven't read the book or the play or seen the play or watched...
I'm sure most people have seen the Claire Danes movie, the Leo DiCaprio Claire Danes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's was it 96? Come on, people, get a little culture here. You know, touch some grass.
Oh, right. God, folks. A couple of podcasters talking out of their basements, telling people out in the internet to get some culture.
Get out and touch some grass. Hey, man.
What hypocrites we are.
You may not know this, but I'm one worldly gent, all right?
Yes,
you know,
yes, you are. No, I know.
I've read more than one play by Shakespeare.
He's read more than one comic book by Shakespeare.
You know, the best comic books are written by Shakespeare.
That's right.
So, you know,
and not Frank Miller. Thank you very much. All right.
I like Frank Miller. What are you talking about? I like Frank Miller.
All he does is go back to his well. This returns, that returns. Must be dark. Must be a night. Blah, 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 blah. All right.
I'm not going to argue with that. All right, fine. Mm-hmm.
One good turn, motivated by a movie with strong heroine and also sibling rivalry, Candace and Stacy feel empowered to team up against rival groups and compete in Phineas and Ferb's ultimate obstacle course. Across town, Doofenshmirtz plans to humiliate his brother, the mayor, by using his 90-degree Turninator on him so that he will accidentally insult the mayor of Stumblegimp.
It was just so bad.
Forced to perform the shameful dance of contrition to make amends. Dun, dun, dun.
You said it's a movie with strong heroin, and I'm like, all right, now we're not allowed to talk about suicide, and we're certainly not allowed to talk about drug use.
Yes, we are. Look here, folks. McGruff the crime dog, just say no.
Just say no.
I was a dare kid in the 80s.
Dare to say no, kids.
That's right. Dare to say no. Drug abuse resistance. That's the most important letters in dare are not the D and the A. They are the R and the E. So drug abuse resistance education. Get educated, folks. Don't do drugs.
Ow. I did not know what that stood for. And I was there. I was there, Gandalf. 3,000 years ago, I was there.
3,000 years ago. He was there 35 years ago, if I have the math right.
Something like that. It was, you don't like Lord of the Rings. That's right.
I know who Gandalf is. Like, one ring, blah, blah, blah. His 11-1st birthday.
11-1st.
Just say he's turning 100 and a fucking 11. Just fuck. That freaking book. Anyway.
71st. I know. And they misspell elves so many times. Just wrong.
It elfin sucks is what it does, folks.
All right. They're not smurfs.
Well, elfin, effin, fucking whatever. Elfin. Like, I was trying to not curse. Elfin sucks. Oh,
that was clever, kind of. Yeah,
after the fact, after I had to explain the joke.
It's not funny if I gotta explain it.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, that joke needed a 90-degree Turninator.
We have one of those.
Good thing too. I just didn't like this episode as much. There was, I want to say, probably at least one, probably more than one Star Wars episode where, you know, they met Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Steve will shoot me for that, but Star Trek episode where they meet a new species, a new alien race, mm-hmm. and they accidentally offend them, and then they have to do the dance of contrition.
Yep.
It's done to better effect in Star Trek than it was done here. I was just like, so how exactly do you ingratiate yourself to an entire civilization? Well, you got to do this weird dance. And if you're one step off, they won't accept your apology.
Well, no, the dance of contrition that's the apology.
Like, exactly.
The offending action is turning 90 degrees to the right of the person that you're standing next to. And I'm like sitting here thinking, how stupid is this?
Yeah, like, how dumb is that? That doesn't make any sense. It was just so bad. In Star Trek, there was this whole thing where he says they're taking them on a tour of the ship, and they bring the aliens into the cafeteria, and they're like so pissed off, and they leave and they storm out, and he's like, "What's wrong?" And he finds out that eating putting food into your mouth is a very deeply personal act for them, and they don't do it in public. So by taking them into a room where everyone is shoving food in their mouth, they were so offended that they left in a huff, and then he has to do the forgiveness, the dance of forgiveness.
They got offended over food porn. Fuck over it. there are worse things to be offended by.
I don't know. Maybe they're Republicans.
Oh my God, you are not going there. Holy crap.
Oh, you can edit that out. Sorry.
No. No, it's fine. You're
I don't know food porn, but I'll know it when I eat it.
Ew. Alrighty then, folks. Good night, everybody. See you next time.
I'll know it when I eat it.
I like this episode for all of the Gimmel Gimp stuff.
Oh,
I don't understand why it has to be not an amount. What is it when it back? Oh God, what the fuck is it called?
What?
Anagram, allegory, whatever the like Gimmel Stump, Stumple Gimp, whatever the hell the opposite is, whatever the term is to call what.
Yeah.
I like the opposite part of doing the name flipping, flopping, whatever. And I like seeing Gimmel Stump stuff, but overall.
Yeah.
I don't know about this one.
I don't know. I like these types of stories, you know, where it's like the history of Gimmel Stump or where he's from, where he's always like,
yeah,
you know, I had to be a lawn gnome, you know, because yep. Stories like that, where it's like, uh-oh, you know, it's a backstory because it's sepia toned.
Oh yeah, all backstories are sepia toned, folks.
And all the best backstories, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And the funny thing is that once again, like at first, I thought the A story and the B story backed up next to each other really nicely, and then I looked at it again, and I'm like, The doof stuff is better than the kid stuff.
Maybe, yeah.
Like the obstacle course is cool, but it's not like I like seeing Candace and Stacy do the team up against Ginger and Isabella because Stacy and Ginger are sisters. I like seeing more about Stacy and her family with her mom, Dr. Morano, and all that.
I like that family.
Yeah, I like that.
I feel like I forgot that they were sisters.
No, I didn't.
It's like, wait a minute, Stacy is a sister with the Girl Scout girl? I'm confused.
Yep. Like I didn't mind that, but I found the doof stuff more interesting than the overall just going through an obstacle course. The competition between Stacy and Candace and Ginger and Isabella was nice. But the overall obstacle course itself, like, you couldn't have, like, and they even say, Ferb, have we ever done an obstacle course this summer in the last 20 years that we've been doing this one summer? No, we've never done an obstacle course. I'm like, oh, okay, let's do an obstacle course. I'm like, okay, it's kind of cool. I kind of get it. They kind of want to be Danville's American Gladiators. That's fine. Because literally, that mud is essentially the water or the whatever that you would find at any American Gladiators episode.
Sorta, yes. It's very American Gladiator. I was trying to remember the name. It's like a Japanese game show where they have that type of obstacle course and people get knocked off and the announcers are dubbed over with American comedians and they're really funny. It's clever. I can't remember the name of it. Someone's going to remember and they're going to mention it.
Oh, and the other thing is the crazy thing is for this, apparently they're not referencing American Gladiators. They're referencing the Hunger Games because the book and movie are parodied as the Gluttony Games. I'm like, oh, great. Another movie franchise I don't give two shits about.
Oh, no, I like the Hunger Games. And they mentioned the Hunger Game. They called it the
Gluttony Games.
The Gluttony Games. That's right. They went to go see the Gluttony Games movie. But I didn't so much see that as the same thing as the Hunger. I mean, in the Hunger Games, everybody murders each other. And again, there's that word. We're getting demonetized. Yeah, I mean, everybody dies. Everybody except Katniss. dies. That was the whole point of the Hunger Games. They're all kind of a sacrifice.
Sacrificial unalived lambs.
Unalived lambs. They're from each district being unalived.
I hate that word. I hate that word. I don't like it whatsoever.
Unalived. So the funny thing here is this is the episode with the Raiders of the Lost Ark reference, yep, where he uses the
staff and the headpiece to pinpoint. Yeah.
Oh man, I was gonna say pole. It's like a staff.
Yeah.
And it was the Well of Souls. That's what it was called. There we go.
Yeah.
And there was a giant sandworm.
Uh huh.
Which was funny. Did you see the new Dune?
Nope. I didn't see the new one, and I've never seen the original. I don't care about
you. You didn't see the original. What is wrong with you? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
What's wrong?
Oh, so no. I mean, the original was a masterpiece of the 80s. You know, 80s sci-fi, it's amazing. Probably not as representative of the Dune franchise as what they wanted. But considering they only made the one, that was the best they could do. But the new one that came out is really good. I mean, there's going to be three, but there's two movies so far, and they're so well done.
Yeah, that movie is 40 years old this year, and I have never seen it, nor do I have any interest in seeing it.
Oh no, you should though. You should. I mean, you know, I can understand if you don't like Monty Python or Lord of the Rings, but Dune? No, you got to watch Dune. That's a good movie. And the funny thing, it's one of those where you'll watch it and you will recognize all of the, you know, the references that you've seen 1,000 times. Put your hand in the box, you know, fear is the mind killer. Well,
basically, you know. Let's see, what was that? What's the math on that? So you're telling me that 7 years later, after Star Wars came out,
yeah,
the setting is the distant future, chronicling the conflict between rival noble families as they battle for control of the extremely harsh desert planet.
Yes.
It's Star Wars in the it's like, oh God, no.
Nobody cared about Tatooine. What are you talking about? No, who's going to fight over Tatooine? It was the armpit of the galaxy.
Exactly.
The whole thing about Arrakis is that there's a limited resource that you can only get there. It's kind of like in Pandora where you have the unobtainium, and the whole reason they want to bomb the planet in the glass is so that they can mine the stuff that they can only find there. Yeah. And the rival houses are insane. I mean, it's...
I'd rather watch Tron.
Tron's a good movie, but
Yes, it is.
Would I say Tron is better than Dune? I would not say that.
I would say, I guess I have to see Dune now to actually fully say that. But I would be saying that. Yes,
go watch it. Most definitely. Oh, that TV show, that full circle, Ninja Warrior.
Oh, yeah. Ninja Warrior.
Ninja Warrior. There was another one, a better reference is Wipeout. But Ninja Warrior,
yep,
had maybe Wipeout had it too, but it had the comedians that were doing the American voices.
Yep. I don't know.
Really, folks, funny.
For some odd reason, I have a 5 written down here. I don't know why. I have no idea why I have a 5 written down for one good turn.
Did you misspell 9?
No.
I will not speak French.
Yet, I did not say. I don't know.
Would not say that.
Like, I see where the A and the B story kind of merged together. I don't know how well they merged together, but like I've said before in this episode, I like the Doof stuff more than the stuff with the kids this time around. But for some odd reason, at the end of this, after I watch, because I don't actually put my rating down until the credits roll. So when I put my rating down originally, it was a 5. But
that's weird. Does it go that high?
What do you mean? Does it go?
It's got to be a really good episode for it to be that good. I mean, did you really, really like it? Maybe. I don't know.
What are you going to
do? I don't know. Probably just a 3. I mean, I thought the Doof story was kind of lacking. I shouldn't say that. I am kind of separating out the Doof story from the backstory. And technically it's all the same thing, but I liked watching the backstory. The Doof story, in essence, is I'm turning things 90 degrees. Yeah. Seemed really dumb. I was just like, this isn't all that great.
Well, it's a starter. It's a conversation starter where have the thing of Perry's trying to get to the building and the build, like it even shows when we don't see Perry fly in yet, or we don't see him get there yet. But like when it's turning on the ground level, you see somebody was able to get into it. And then the next person that walks by couldn't get into it because it turned the other way. It wasn't the door.
Yeah.
So it's a starter of where the story eventually goes into the backstory. So that's why I like it. Yes, technically Doof has no freaking plot here whatsoever.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot going on.
It's just to get to the backstory. And the fact of having to eventually have his brother do the Dance of Contrition, which they updated 100-something centuries later.
Yeah, it was like all of the cabaret dancers that usually accompany Doof all start working for the city.
Yep. Hey.
They're all dancing. I mean, it was a neat little number, but, you know, I thought that the kind of the heart and soul of this episode was the Candace Stacy and Isabella Ginger.
Where they're
competing, but in the end they come together and she's like, well, you know, I'm glad you have a trophy. I only get trophies because I want to impress you. And I was like, oh, my heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Okay, Mr. Grinch.
Yeah, but that might have been, you know, the highlight and probably the only highlight of the episode for me, at least. I mean, I'm flip-flopping a little bit, but yeah, I definitely give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 4. I can forgive a lot of it. Yeah, like you just said, the stuff with Stacy and Ginger and the stuff with Candace and Isabella and all that and everything else.
Oh.
And then just the whole Doof backstory. It's like, it's so stupid, it's funny.
It doesn't mesh well together, but it's kind of still the same. It is the sum of its parts, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, but the thing that I didn't mention is, you know, which might even earn this an extra 0.5 point, is the Ming-Na Wen cameo.
Yep.
As Dr. Hirano, which is Ginger and Stacy's mom.
That's right.
Because Ming-Na Wen is the Disney trifecta. She has the hat trick for being a Disney princess and a Star Wars character and a Marvel Universe character as well. She was Agent May.
Yep.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Yes, she is.
One of my favorite Disney characters.
Absolutely, folks. And all I can think of is Fountains of Wayne. Stacy's mom's got it going on.
Got it going on. Ming-Na Wen, I mean, she's over 50, but, you know, she still got it, man.
Look at, I mean, not to compare male-female, but I mean, a lot of these old-timey actors and actresses, look at Stallone. Stallone just wrapped up, I think, the second season of Tulsa Kid. Like, oh my God, Sly's just kicking ass at his age.
But the thing is they say, like, oh, you know, men, they age well, and they, you know, you can be an older man and still work in Hollywood, but you don't get that a lot as a woman. And yet you've got, you know, Agent May, who can kick you directly in the forehead at over 50.
Yep.
She's badass.
Yes, she is.
She's hardcore.
Hardcore, man. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to do final thoughts and all that good stuff, close the show right after this.
Where's Perry?
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicki Jakubowski, Zion Quiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Okay, he's gone. One, a two, a one, two, three.
I am the very model of a modern major monogram of information, vegetable, and animal in hologram.
All right, folks, we are back, and we're going to give you some final words before I run through the closing. Michael, what do you got?
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
Okay, I've been learning French for the past year, but I'm not that fluent yet. You might
Major to- Monogram actually said that in Love at First Bite. Love Bite. And I knew exactly what he said. And it basically means let the good times roll.
The cars, man. Let the good times roll. There you go.
He had the worst accent, by the way.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that was... I mean, I love you, Swampy, but you got to work on your accents, man.
I know. We got to speak more French.
That's right.
Nine. I will not speak French. I will not do it. Nine.
All right, folks. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast organization. A lot of cool acronyms. There's so many ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcasting clients you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. You can still leave the show feedback in iTunes if you so choose to. Yes, iTunes is still a thing, even though Apple doesn't really care anymore. Follow us on X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call that platform over there. I'm at TFG and Mike. He is at Pecan Court Michael. I don't know. Do you even still use it at all?
Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, right. Basically, yeah, I read it. I don't think I communicate much with it.
Yeah, it's not really a communication device anymore. It's a like... Here, I'm going to post this of what I'm doing, and then I'm going to run away and not get any content out of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that, I have an issue with, like, I'm not entirely sure who my audience is or if I have an audience there, you know, because I've had a Twitter account for 15 years and I've used it for so many different things over the years. And now I'm just like, is this thing on? You know, hello? Who am I talking to again?
You're talking to yourself.
It's a what do they call that? Sound bubble?
Soundboard.
There you go. Yeah. It's like a soundboard. It's just there to hear myself talk. Kind of like right now.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio.org. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb Season 4, which includes Cheers for Fears. Somebody shout, folks. Somebody shout. And just our luck. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Econ Court Michael.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Boo hiss.
I think it's hilarious. I like it. I like the kids' slang nowadays. Aiden and Gavin hate it when I say things like, you know, it's like, oh, dude, you got the Riz today. You know, they don't like it.
Yeah, no, don't,
stop it.
Say the whole thing. Charisma. There's nothing wrong with the word charisma. Absolutely. Say the whole friggin'
word. Love that word. I like it when they're put off by it. You know what I mean? What did I say the other day? I said something like, oh, I'm like, oh yeah, man, I'm getting big Sigma vibes from you. And they're like, shut up, Dad. Stop it.
Oh, God.
It just makes me giggle. I like that. Mm-hmm.